Once again, the Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, there are numerous members with the Goal Line Club, and we're hoping to grow that number more so we can have more of you at our at the tailgates on Saturday mornings.
Well, especially when you look at this upcoming Saturday, folks, not sure if you've seen the weather. It's going to be in the 40s for that game. So if you don't want to maybe acclimate yourself to that weather more than you have to, come inside to Williams Arena and join us at the Goal Line Club tailgate. It's a primo location, unlimited adult beverages, unlimited beverages overall. You get Tony's Diner, and it's all open 3 hours before the game. So if you want to save 10 bucks and come hang out with us at the GLC tailgate, use promo code Muppets, and that's plural, 10 at checkout, and you get $10 off for your non-member.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buehr.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this culture podcast. As I know Scott Frost week has come and gone, I just still think that whole bit. Did you see what he said yesterday?
I saw that.
With Grimmer and Guardsy on the Tuesday show?
Yeah, I saw something like he said. It's something that the reference, like, can I say the word culture? I thought that was really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so Flex still laughing about that one a little bit. But it is Maryland week, a team that I think I was surprised to look and see this morning has beat Minnesota 3 of the last 4 years. Especially when you look back at last year's game, Luke, Minnesota blows a 3-score lead in the fourth quarter. Maryland wins in overtime as Minnesota misses a PAT, but it is a very different game for both teams in terms of what they want to do, how it went last year, and there's a lot of injuries to kind of get into here. So it's going to be a jam-packed episode today.
Yeah, let's actually get into those injuries. I can kind of take some of the Minnesota ones off the top. Obviously, no Mo Ibrahim, no Trey Potts. Those are the two kind of headliners that we have, right? Everybody's aware that they're down their top two running backs. So it'll likely be running back by committee again, which I'm actually all for. Obviously, I'd like them to be healthy, but, you know, in the current circumstances, I'm all for that. Otherwise, for Minnesota, you know, Daniel Jackson was held out of the last game. We know Curtis Dunlop's in the portal. We know Cam Wiley's in the portal. Who else, Ryan, for the Gophers do we have to keep an eye on in terms of injuries?
Yeah, since we last recorded, the two things I want to note on the Minnesota side of things here is, number one, it's not really an injury, but as Luke just noted, Cam Wiley is now in the portal, and that's not a surprise to anyone. He was fourth in snaps this past Saturday. I think he got two snaps, and that was both when Minnesota went five wide and he was split out. And I think he saw the writing on the wall that even with injuries to Minnesota's top two running backs, him not getting any run on Saturday just kind of put the nail in the coffin that I think it's time to put the name in the portal. Now, I would be really surprised if he doesn't end up in the state of Nevada somewhere. It's where he's from. He's from Las Vegas. I think UNLV and Nevada would probably be the top two destinations that I would guess. So I think he gets back closer to home. And to me, Luke, for Cam Wiley, it was he is one of the best athletes, I think, on offense. But that's what he is.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes in football where you are just a really good athlete, but I don't know that you have a true position. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he's one of those, you know, first one off the bus guys always, right? And he is. He's a phenomenal athlete. I think the challenge is that in football, especially as you get higher and higher levels, like you have to be good at something super, super well to be able to get onto the field. And at the end of the day, like, maybe as a pass catcher, he was better than most. He had that wheel route, where he ended up scoring a touchdown. But I think, you know, the vision piece maybe wasn't there. And I definitely don't think the blocking piece was there. You're just the odd man out. And the reality is this is the ever evolving world of portal life in college football.
It is. And so Minnesota is now down to three running backs for the rest of the season. I mean, you look at what has happened to that running back room. You've seen Jason Williamson medically retire. You've had Cam Wiley hit the portal. You've had Mo Ibrahim season ender, Trey Potts season ender. I mean, you're down to three. Now, I've had some people ask me, who's the scout team back? And it's either Kendall Moore, who's a walk-on from East Ridge, but I've also heard that Dino Calliac-Manis, who played a little bit of running back in his senior spring season in Illinois there, has also been getting some reps there. So you really are down to three guys and two freshmen and Bryce Williams, but it's a bit thin back there. But I think in good news, I have heard that after missing the game this past week, Daniel Jackson has been practicing. Now, to what capacity, I'm not sure. I'm not even sure that if I did know, I would share that because eyes and ears are everywhere. But it is promising that Daniel Jackson, who had been starting for or at least in three wide receiver sets for Minnesota, is apparently on the up and up as he is at practice, Luke.
Yeah, and that's definitely a positive. You know, he's someone that I was high on coming into this season, and I still think, for my money, he's your wide receiver too. Until Dalen Wright becomes a little bit more consistent, he, in my opinion, is wide receiver too. So we want him to be healthy, and he complements.
Did Michael Brown Stevens disappear, by the way? Yeah. Or
touche.
I mean, Dalen Wright has touché. Dalen Wright has just been inconsistent.
Yeah,
and that's I know fair. We all saw the talent against Ohio State, but I can tell you, I mean, you saw the drop last week, and then he essentially gets benched again, and it's inconsistent. Everyone here knows his athletic talents are through the roof, but consistency is what Matt Simon and Mike Stanford and PJ Fleck are looking for there. Now, Luke, the Maryland side of things, it's a much longer list for injuries, and it's been recent injuries for them where their number one wide receiver, Dante Demas Jr., someone that went over 100 yards with a touchdown last year against Minnesota, he's out for the year. Suffered a gruesome knee injury against Iowa that completely flipped that game on its head. So he's out. And wide receiver 2/3, whatever you want to call him, Maryland's a base three wide receiver team at least. And Jayshon Jones, he was just ruled out for the entire season on Monday. He suffered an injury against Ohio State. And oh, by the way, he went for over 100 yards and a touchdown last year. Now, it was also announced on Monday/Tuesday that their top edge player, and I am going to try and pronounce this name, and I know I'm going to get it wrong. So, Luke, I'm going to feel like you here in a second when I say Darrell.
It's fine.
Darrell Nechami, he is their top-rated player on defense via Pro Football Focus. He's their best pass rusher, which is why his grade is so high. He suffered an injury against Ohio State before their bye week, and now he's out for the year. Oh, by the way, they're already without their top corner in Deontay Banks. He went down for the year. Their number two corner in Ja'Corian Bennett suffered an injury, a hamstring injury against Iowa. He missed the Ohio State game. Now, he's listed back on the depth chart, which would be good. But I'll tell you, Luke, a corner who's got a bum wheel there, or at least probably not 100% hammy, going against the secondary, or against this pass-catching corps should be interesting there. So there's a lot of injuries. I mean, it's a much different, and we'll get into it, a much different Maryland offense than the one that just put up 45 points on Minnesota last year. Some of that's because of just guys leaving. Some of that's because of injuries, but it is, I mean, I understand Minnesota's without Potts and Ibrahim and that sucks, but I mean, Maryland has got their own issues going offensively there too.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like, you know, this is football. There are going to be injuries and you have to be able to sustain injuries and continue to be successful. And that's a measure of depth. And for the Gophers thus far, like, they've done okay in terms of managing those injuries. Now there's a lot of season left to play, but as you said, I brought this up numerous times, like, you deserve credit here. This is the running back room is one of the more deep rooms in this entire program right now.
I mean, that's what I thought, and I'm glad it's kind of coming to fruition here, because I don't know how many Big Ten programs you could get down to running back 3, 4, 5, and they look at least competent, if not good at times. And I think we've seen that with Kai, with Bucky, with Bryce Williams. So they're going to need to continue to do that here for the remaining six games of the regular season and into their bowl game. But, I mean, this is a Maryland defense that has also given up 116 points the last 2 weeks. Now, again, one's Ohio State, and they do that to everybody.
Right.
And then with Iowa, the whole Iowa gifted turnovers, great field position, Spencer Petras leading the historic 3-play -8 scoring drives that he does. I mean, the Iowa game and the Ohio, I don't know how much you can look into those, but certainly We will dive into it, but it's something to where Minnesota's had a lot of success on the ground against Maryland the last 2 years, but they also had Rodney Smith, Mo Ibrahim, Shannon Brooks in those games.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very least, Trey Potts. And so again, I'll get into it and kind of here in a second, Luke, but it's just such a different game than last year for both teams.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. The Gophers this season are averaging 25.3 points per game, 344 yards of total offense, 153 of those coming through the air, 190 of those coming on the ground. Conversely, Maryland is giving up 29 points per game, 387 yards of total offense, 260 through the air, and only 126 on the ground. Generally speaking, I don't think that the identity of Minnesota's offense is going to change a ton. I still think that they'll probably be more run focused, but we did see them spread it out a little bit more, and it would be very encouraging to see that trend continue into this game against Maryland, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I was mentioning. You look back at these last two games, especially where in 2019, Minnesota has a ton of success on the ground. I mean, they ran for a ton of yards. I think over 300 technically on the day. In 2019, Minnesota running backs ran for 238 yards. That's 6.26 yards carry that day. Last year, essentially, Mo Ibrahim ran for 252 yards. That was the game he had like 41 carries, and they ran for over 5.7 yards per carry. But this is obviously a different offense now without Ibrahim and Potts. So I'm trying to kind of visualize here, Luke. I don't expect Minnesota to abandon the run because that's who they are. But it's also like this is a much different offense when it's Bryce Williams toting the rock or Marquise Irving toting the rock instead of Mo Ibrahim, if that makes sense. So it's not like Maryland's run defense here in Big Ten play has been any good. I mean, they're 12th in rushing yards allowed in the Big Ten. They're 13th, second to last. They've allowed 10 rushing touchdowns, and they've got 11. They rank 11th in yards per carry against them. So they're averaging over 4 yards a carry. This is where I kind of look at it, Luke, where it's like Minnesota's the Minnesota Moving Company up front, like the offensive line and Co-Keefe, they got to show up. I mean, this is a game where in 2019 you dominated it, and that started on the ground. I think Tanner only threw the ball in that game with Bateman and with Johnson, like, I don't know, 16 times or so. And then last year, they just kind of ground and pounded. And again, they had that 3-score lead going into the fourth quarter, and then things imploded. But like Maryland's not a good run defense this year. They just lost their best graded player on defense. Their linebackers have been very suspect. And that's where if Minnesota can win up front and maybe these running backs can get some holes, I mean, this could be a day where, again, Minnesota could put up some points. But to your point, Luke, I mean, it's no secret. My number one key to the game, again, is going to be that passing offense, because you're facing a secondary that's without their best corner. Their number two corner is returning from a hamstring injury. I mean, the last two games for Maryland's pass defense, Luke, they've allowed 8 touchdowns with 0 picks. I mean, they have been just getting dismantled. Now, 5 of those came from Ohio State, and Ohio State does that to everybody. But if Spencer Petras can go, you know, he threw for like 270 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. I mean, that is not a good thing. And Maryland had Iowa at home in that game, if you remember right, too, Luke. So, it comes down to the guys up front, and I'll get into it a little bit later. But if they can open some holes and keep Tanner Morgan clean, I mean, this should be a game where Minnesota puts up 28-plus points.
All right. So, obviously, Minnesota, you know, found some success throwing the ball in the last game. And we kind of assumed, I don't know if assume is the right word, but we kind of came to the conclusion that they did that in large part because they wanted to open things up because of the lack of like certainty in the running back position. Obviously, if Daniel Jackson comes back, that's another weapon you can have there. What I want to know is, do you think that we could see them involve the tight ends and consistently continue to involve the tight ends a little bit more? Because I think right now we see the value of Reverence Van Ford, but I also want to see them get Co-Keefe involved in this passing game too, because he is such an asset in the run game. You know, your play action is going to be just as more devastating there as well.
I'd love to see them where, I mean, Minnesota loves to use Co-Keefe in that wham block type of scenario. You don't know Correct. What a wham block is. Like, he comes across the formation to lay out the defensive end or the linebacker, the edge player there, whoever it is. Well, just have him come across. That guy's going to be bracing for a hit, and you just slip him into the flats. And again, that could be an easy thing on third and short or in the red zone to get Kokeef a touchdown. But Maryland's linebackers can be exploited. And they're a base 3-4 team, or at least from some of the film I've seen anyway. So I'm not – off the top of my head, I don't think – has Minnesota gone against a 3-4 team this year?
I don't think any, but I don't think Miami of Ohio is a 3-4. I think they're a 4-3 as well. I think this might be their first 3-4.
So the question I have is, I mean, it's not like Mike Sanford hasn't seen it before. I mean, we saw it last year. I mean, he coached against Maryland last year, and the offense put up 44 points. So, I mean, we've seen it before where Minnesota has success, especially on the ground, and that's where Maryland's linebackers are the weak point of that team right now. They're already banged up. I already mentioned how their top player will be out there. But the last 2 weeks where teams have been exploiting them, Luke, in the passing game is at that linebacker position, where whether it was running backs, you know, Tyler Goodson and Travion Henderson both had big plays as running backs in the passing game against these linebackers. The tight end was involved against Iowa and Ohio State as well. So, I mean, maybe this is a game where the tight end position can get to, and I don't know that I want to say this out loud, Luke, maybe 5 catches between the two of them?
Between the two of them.
Yeah, holy buckets. I mean, we get 5 catches from the tight end. Somebody run and tell the Star Tribune, because sweet Moses of Mary, I mean, it's going to be impressive here, but it's something to where, again, that's where I think they can be exploited. So it's going to be interesting to me for Maryland's linebackers. I mean, with a 3-4 team, you're going to have your offensive line get to that second level. But you're also going to have to be able to do some things in pass pro and exploit them with your skill position players as well, Luke.
I do want to note that, as you're aware, I do like to follow advanced stats, and one of them that I like to follow is efficiencies, right? And I don't usually talk about these until I feel like the sample size is relevant, but I will tell you this: Maryland's defensive efficiency has just plummeted as they have gotten the last couple weeks. They are going to be, so far, as we sit today, they'll be the least efficient defense that the Gophers will play the remainder of the season. What I'm hoping for is we don't go into this turtle shell of like, all we're going to do is run the ball. Like, let's exploit these vulnerabilities that they have and take advantage and you know, get some points on the board, because this is on the schedule. I mean, Illinois is not great either, but Maryland is by far the worst in terms of defensive efficiencies.
I mean, I'd say probably Maryland and Illinois are similar-ish. Well, especially after, again, I don't know how much of this is skewed by the last 2 weeks because they've given up 50-plus points.
Yes.
To Iowa skewed. And Ohio State coming into it. But again, that was their last 2 games, and then they got the idle week. So it comes out to be also as well, I mean, what changes is Maryland going to make? Because they know they're not going to have their top edge rusher. You know, they know that this Minnesota offense has put up a ton of yards and a ton of points against them the last 2 years. I believe Minnesota has scored 40-plus points against Maryland the last 2 years, but they're only 1-1. So it is going to be interesting to kind of see the chess match there between Mike Sanford and whatever adjustments Maryland is going to make defensively coming out of the bye.
Yeah, I'll just note that Maryland went from 92nd in the country last week and last on the schedule for Minnesota to 95th in the country. So it didn't shift them all that much, you know, but they did have made a steady decline the past 2 weeks, you know, especially with that Ohio State loss. So, okay. So any other things you want to close out on offense?
Not right now. No.
Okay. So obviously with Minnesota, let's just see some consistency in terms of approach, in terms of let's continue to spread the ball out in the passing game, and hopefully have that open up the run. Again, the Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Again, if you want to save $10, use the promo code MUPPETS10, and you will save $10 if you're not a member. Otherwise, if you want to save even more money, just become a member of the Goal Line Club. That $100 goes towards a tax deduction that will all be going towards the University of Minnesota football program. So if you want to support PJ Fleck and his team, become a Goal Line Club member today. When the Gophers are on defense, Maryland averages 30.0 points per game. 447 of those are 447 total yards, 311 through the air, 136 on the ground. Minnesota, conversely, is only giving up 20.2 points per game, 319 yards of total offense, 232 through the air, and 86.8 on the ground. Ryan, I have to admit, these stats are getting more and more impressive week after week for this Gopher defense. And the fact that they went from abysmal at stopping the run last year to being borderline one of the better run-stopping teams in the country this year at 86.8 yards per game is one of the more impressive things that I've seen in recent memory in college football, especially as it relates to Gopher football. So kudos to Joe Rossi. Once again, I'll fall on my sword. I was wrong.
I like the effect with it. Here's what I want to ask you, because I'm going to cherry pick some stats just to kind of show what the transformation has been for this Gopher defense.
Aren't all stats cherry picked?
I mean, for sure. But so the last four games, can you guess how many total points Minnesota has given up in the first, third, and fourth quarters combined?
First, third, and fourth. And you said four games?
Yep, last four games.
I'll go with 35.
It's under. Surprisingly, they've given up 27 points in those. Wow. So in the last four fourth quarters, they've given up a total of 7 points, which is outstanding. The last four third quarters, they've given up a total of 14 points, which is obviously very good. So that means in the last four second halves, Minnesota's only given up 21 total points. And that's going to win you a lot of football games. And then in the last four first quarters, Luke, Minnesota's given up a total of 6 points. Mm-hmm. So it's been really good. But last year, it was really bad. Mm-hmm. And that was a Joe Rossi defense against Taulia Tagovailoa, which is, I've somehow figured out how to say that one, but not their edge rusher's name. But, I mean, he torched Minnesota last year. I think you remember that. He threw the ball for 394 yards on 74%. Completion percentage, three passing touchdowns and a pick, while also gaining 59 yards and two scores with his legs. For those of you who don't want to do the math, and we'll get to the Gopher math a little bit later, but that's a total of 453 total yards and five scores. I mean, you're going to lose a lot of football games if you ever give up 453 yards to one person and they also score five touchdowns. But it's such a different game to me. I mean, you look at that 2020 offensive output for Maryland. Yes, Taulia is back, but he's about the only thing that is from that skill position group. Because their tailback, one of your favorite players, and Jake Funk, who ran for 221 yards against Minnesota last year, he's now with the LA Chargers. Okay, their wide receiver one, Dante Demas, I talked about it earlier. He went 7-101 in a touchdown last year against Minnesota. He's out for the year. Jayshon Jones, he went 3-101-1 against Minnesota last year. He's out for the year. That's a total of 425 yards of production from last year's game that will not play this weekend. Now, they still have a really good slot player by the name of Rakim Jarrett, someone that was a five-star coming out of the 2020 recruiting class. He's obviously a very talented player, but he's run 94% of his 94% of his snaps in the slot. So my question there is if you know Jarrett's going to be the one that stirs the drink for this passing offense, Luke, and you kind of look at how is Joe Rossi going to approach this, I wonder, we've seen it at times this year, but not consistently, if Coney Durr slides into the slot for this game and they just remove Justice Harris's coverage abilities from the equation. You put your best cover corner on Jarrett, and then you put Justin Wally on the outside along with Terrell Smith or Phillip Howard or whoever it may be. What do you think about that?
That's interesting. I would not have guessed that, but I could see that actually happening. That makes a lot of sense. Like, you want to put your best corner on their best player, right? And given the injuries they have, like, I like that.
So I don't know what Rossi will decide to do, but it's something to where that would be the player I'd want to attack. The one I want to take away is going to be Rakim Jarrett. So we'll see what Rossi decides to do there, because the two guys filling in for Dante Demas and Jayshon Jones are Brian Cobbs and Daryl Jones. They're not exactly Demas and Jones. So it's a much different room for them there. I mentioned it, their best tailback and Jake Funk from last year. He's now with the LA Chargers. So their running back and Teyon Fleet Davis, he had a fantastic September. I mean, he was averaging over 7 yards a carry, 4 rushing touchdowns, but the last 2 weeks, he's only been able to accumulate 27 total rushing yards on 11 attempts. So but to me, it starts and stops with Taulia. I mean, it's just going to have to be that, where you saw it last year, where he killed you with his arm, he killed you with his legs. And oh, by the way, if I was Joe Rossi, I would deploy the exact same damn thing that you did to Adrian Martinez last week and try to keep him in that proverbial quote-unquote cage. Now, it's easier said than done, Luke, because Maryland likes to get him a lot on these rollouts and these sprint outs where, for whatever the reason is this year, Taulia has not really been using his legs. He's got 2 rushes over 10 yards this year. But he's incredibly athletic. I mean, I watched the Ohio State tape. I watched the Iowa tape. I mean, he can certainly make you miss. Fans will remember that from last year. But he just hasn't been really tucking the ball and running. So with these the design sprint outs and rollouts and just trying to get him in space, it will be interesting to see how Joe Rossi tries to kind of combat that. I mean, last week we saw him deploy spies on Martinez 1, if not 2 at times. Does he do that once again? I'm not incredibly sure. But the only other thing I note before I get to my keys to the game here, Luke, is Taulia has also been turning the ball over. I mean, I made the joke, I think, a couple podcasts ago. It was a terrible dad joke. It was Taulia turn the ball over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a horrible joke. Yeah. I mean, he's got 7 picks in the last 2 games. Yeah. Now, again, Iowa was able to Iowa him. You know, he had 2 picks last in their last game against Ohio State. And then if you ask PJ Fleck, Minnesota didn't get a turnover last week because they don't count turnovers as downs as turnovers. Now, how about they just get a takeaway? Because this guy, I mean, if I was Minnesota, I'd sit back in zone, try to make Taulia go through his reads and hope that he can get pressure, because Taulia, as with many college quarterbacks, is not the same quarterback when he's under pressure. So one final thing I'll note is Maryland likes to chuck the ball. But the interesting part is, Luke, 66% of their passes come within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. They like to do a lot of stuff behind the line of scrimmage. That's like a third of their passes. Now, do you know what the advantage of that would be?
You mean for Minnesota or for Maryland?
Why would Maryland want to be throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage?
Well, they're easier to complete, and also you can get guys out to start blocking.
Correct. And yeah, that last part's the big thing I want to mention there is if you throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage, your guys can immediately go out and start blocking, even if it's like 2-3 seconds after the play has started. So you can't get pass interference on something behind the line of scrimmage. So there's a lot of stuff within the line of scrimmage. That means you're hoping that the Gopher defensive linemen can get their hands up, get their hands on the ball, and hopefully get some deflections that maybe they can get some takeaways on, Luke.
Yeah, and for this Minnesota defense, you know, they've consistently been improving. This is a hard offense again to defend, much like Nebraska. I know that they're down playmakers, and this was a defense or an offense that was very, very good to start the year, and they often are. But you know, at the end of the day, the concepts that Mike Locksley installs are still complicated, and you have to stay honest and stay sound defensively. I just hope that we can keep the Gophers can find a way to keep their composure and keep their mental preparation and just execute, because I think they are going to be capable, you know, without the talent they have on the field and the schemes, but they just have to be able to execute. And part of that is going to be a big mental portion.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Maryland has shown historically under Mike Locksley, even in recent weeks under him, they will become undisciplined. They will start to get chippy if things don't go their way. I mean, we've seen them just get boat raced as the game has gone on the last 2 weeks. And again, with all the injuries that they're dealing with on both sides of the ball, if Minnesota can get a solid early lead here and then, heaven forbid, keep the foot on the gas pedal in the third quarter, I mean, this could be one where it could turn into something. But again, that's all dependent upon if Taulia has a big day, that is not going to be good news for Minnesota.
All right, Ryan, there's only one certainty in life here living in the United States, and it's you're going to have a tax bill, right? You're guaranteed to have to pay taxes. And if you have to pay taxes, wouldn't you want to find a way to save money on that? And that's where AyresRock Plans can work with you to put together a plan that is comprehensive and is specialized and individualized to you so that you can save money on your taxes. And I know, Ryan, this is something that you have to deal with every single quarter.
Oh, it's the worst. I hit my estimated quarterly tax payments in because it's either that or I got to pay in this gigantic chunk at the end of the year. But the beautiful part about it is I've been working with a tax professional very similar to what AyresRock Plans does. And I've been able to save myself thousands of dollars just year over year with different changes I'm making with an individualized tax plan. I mean, I cannot tell you as a 1099, as a business owner, how much money it has actually saved me. So, Luke, if you want to get in touch with these people, how do they get in touch with the beautiful people of AyresRock Plans?
Yeah, go to AyresRockPlanning.com, find them on Twitter at AyresRock Plans, slide into the DMs, and also just go to their website and reach out. So for Gopher Math, Ryan, again, 2 months of GI on the line here. I'll read off the question. So pay close attention, have your mobile phones ready. Minnesota's fourth quarter lead against Maryland in 2020, plus the longest Minnesota win streak over Maryland, divided by Minnesota, the total of Minnesota versus Maryland games played. Again, if you know the answer and you've figured it out, tweet at Ryan Burns MN, Gopher Radio, and AyresRock Plans, and they'll hook you up with 2 months of free GI. All right, let's get to some facts and figures for this game, Ryan. This is going to be a 2:30 kick on October 23rd. It will be aired on ESPN2 if you will not be attending the game. Weather-wise, maybe take a quick look at that. This looks like a beautiful fall day. Some might not feel that it's beautiful, but around 2:30, it'll be about 48 degrees with the wind at about 7 miles an hour, so the wind shouldn't play a huge factor. The feels-like temperature, though, is going to be a little bit lower, in large part due to the overcast nature of the day. And by game end, maybe around 6 o'clock, the temperature will be about 48 degrees again with about 7 miles an hour of wind. So all in all, a pretty good day for football, Ryan.
Well, it's also hopefully going to be a productive day for me tomorrow in the Deer Woods, because as you know, Luke, it's all about me. And I'm hoping that with this cold front we got coming through on Wednesday, temperatures are going to drop 20 degrees. It's going to be nice in the 40s. I'm hoping that maybe I got some fresh back straps from a 150-plus inch deer. But yes, it's going to be a little bit chilly, folks. It's going to be in the 40s. So for those of you who are going to be tailgating for this 2:30 contest, make sure you got some heaters, some toe warmers, some hand warmers. I will go to my grave, Luke, to tell people that toe warmers work. For people with my foot size of 17, I can't get boots that have a lot of insulation in them.
Sure.
So I cannot tell you how much toe warmers have saved my life, let alone in the tree stand, but also just in colder type of situations. So if you are a little bit of a freeze baby, your better half is a little bit of a freeze baby, go get some hand warmers and some toe warmers from Fleet Farm or wherever else.
It's still not that cold.
They will save your life.
It's still not that cold. But
I will be in a polo. I mean, you saw on Fox 9 this past weekend.
Yeah.
It's like 39 degrees. Ron and Hobie are complaining about the weather. I'm out there trying to pull a Bud Grant, and I was fine.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you were good. So,
So again, dress accordingly, folks. It's not going to be like it was last weekend.
All right, so let's look at the betting on this specific game. The over-under is 54.5.
Luke, Minnesota. Can you tell people what your first reaction to that was in the pre-production meeting?
Thought,
I've never heard your voice spike the way it did.
I was really surprised it was that high, because I just assume, given the injuries, Minnesota is going to be kind of risk-averse, and I'm just not sure that Maryland can score. So I was a little surprised. So I guess I would take the under on this, but I got to think about it a little bit more until I hear your keys to the game. But again, Minnesota is a 5-point favorite over Maryland at home. On the season, Minnesota is 3-2-1 against the spread, and Maryland is 3-3 against the spread this season. So Ryan, with that, let's get to your keys to the game.
Well, it's going to be very similar to last week, and that's where my number one key is the Gopher passing game has to show up, but this time they have to do it again. haven't seen the consistency, because last week was a good start. Following the idle week, Minnesota's passing offense, Tanner Morgan goes 20-24, sets the single game completion record for a Minnesota quarterback, goes 20 of 24 for 209 yards, two touchdowns, two picks. I will still say that in my mind, he really only made one bad throw on the day, second interception. Yes, we've talked about it. Horrible decision, horrible throw, but it was an incredibly impressive first half. I mean, it was the best we've seen him and this passing game look since 2019. Now, I also don't think it's a coincidence that the passing game comes around when it's also the healthiest that we've seen Chris Ottman Bell. I mean, he was fantastic in those contested catch situations, ends the day with 11 catches for 103 yards and a tutty. So the passing game is going to have to be the one that leads this thing. I mean, Minnesota's on their third string running back. You know, we saw Bryce Williams emerge as the quote-unquote hot hand running back in the second half against Nebraska, but I still think we're going to see plenty of the freshmen and Marquise Irving and Kai Thomas this week. So when I kind of look into Maryland, again, I mentioned it, I believe they're a 3-4 team, something Minnesota really hasn't gone against much this year, but it has not been pretty for their passing defense in recent weeks. Spencer Petras, of all people, in that Iowa passing game, completed 70% of their passes for 259 yards, three touchdowns, no turnovers. While the Ohio State quarterback went nuclear, 406 yards, five touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's eight passing touchdowns and zero picks in their last two games. So we'll see what changes they have coming off the idle week for them. But I would mention again, they're going to be without their top-rated player on defense via Pro Football Focus in Darrell Nechami, who's out for the year. He suffered an injury against Ohio State. He was their best pass rusher by far. I mean, led the team in pressures and hurries. He was a very impactful player for them. Their second highest rated linebacker is a kid by the name of Brandon Jennings. Oh, by the way, he's missed the last two games, and he's not listed on their depth chart this week. So maybe he plays, and this is all, again, you know, we've seen the depth chart shenanigans over the years from Minnesota to the point now where I think we've chastised them so much that they don't even release a depth chart anymore. But their top two rated linebackers are out. So this is going to be an inexperienced linebacker group going against Minnesota. But I also mentioned it, they appear to be getting back their top corner in Ja'Corian Bennett, who suffered a hamstring injury against Iowa, missed the Ohio State game. He's listed on the depth chart this week. But again, you're down your cornerback one in Deontay Banks. Your number two corner, Ja'Corian Bennett, maybe has a hamstring that's about 90-95%. But, I mean, that secondary needs all the help they can get, because without your best pass rusher, if Tanner Morgan's got a clean pocket, I mean, he's been good this season, because when Tanner Morgan has been kept clean, he's got an 81.9 passing grade this season, Luke. Now, to give context for those of you who aren't on Gopher Illustrated, don't get to see the Pro Football Focus recaps every Sunday morning, an average grade for Pro Football Focus is a 60. An 81 is really good. And so that's what Morgan's passing grade is via Pro Football Focus when he is kept clean in the pocket. Now, when he's under pressure, it drops down to a 50. So he goes from a very good college quarterback to a below average one. No surprise, that's most college quarterbacks. But what Minnesota has done the last two seasons is absolutely gash the Terrapins on the ground. I talked about it in 2019. Minnesota ran for 238 yards with their running backs, 6.26 yards a carry. Last year in College Park, they put up 252 yards on 5.72 yards per carry with their backs. Now, you don't have Roddy. You don't have Shannon. You don't have Mo. You don't have Potts. So I don't know what to expect from Minnesota's run offense, because I know that the Minnesota Moving Company up front played really well last week. They're going to have to do it again on Saturday. But it starts with Morgan. It starts with these pass catchers. If you can have that passing game complement you in the run game again, Luke, I feel good about Minnesota being able to put up some points at home on Saturday. My number two key to the game is make Tagovailoa and their depleted passing game beat you. I mean, I talked about it at length already. I mean, Taulia, the younger brother there, went nuclear last year. He had 453 yards and five scores. I mean, he was incredible. And that obviously can't happen again in Minneapolis if Minnesota's going to win the game. But I have also touched on it. It's such a different skill position group. Their running back, who ran for 221 yards last year, he's with the Chargers. Their number one and number two potential receivers there both went over 100 for Minnesota last year. they're both out. We're talking about 425 yards of production from last year's Minnesota game gone. Now, they do have Rakim Jarrett. I talked about him. He was a five-star wide receiver coming out of the 2020 recruiting class. But I'm so curious to see what Rossi does to combat him, because he's going to be, in my mind, the focal point of that passing attack. And he has played 94% of his snaps this season in the slot. And on paper, I think that would be a mismatch against Justice Harris. So does Coney Durr slide inside for this game, which would mean Terrell Smith and Justin Wally would be on the outside against against two receivers by the name of Brian Cobbs and Daryl Jones. We'll see. I'm also going to be curious, Luke, if Maryland makes it a point to involve the tight end. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the tight end's name because I will butcher it so bad I will offend his family. But the tight end has got 12 catches in the last three games. And obviously everybody remembers from last Saturday, Austin Allen went for over 100 yards against Minnesota. So what variation of this offense do we see? I mean, I don't know. You look at the offense for Maryland, it's explosive, or at least it was when they had Demas, when they had Jayshon Jones, but now they don't have them. And so Taulia can only do so much. Now, I'd also note that Maryland is dead last on third down in offense and defense. What does that mean? They convert only 27% of their third downs in conference play. That's worse in the Big Ten. While on the flip side on third down, Maryland allows 48% of third downs to be converted against them in conference play. That's also the worst. So for Joe Rossi, you got to try to build that quote-unquote cage around what I think is one of the best creators at the quarterback position in the Big Ten. You saw it last year. Maryland loves to put Taulia in space with these designed rollouts and sprint outs, but they got to stay disciplined. The defensive ends can't get too far up the field to lose contain. Defensive tackles got to keep their eyes on the quarterback to be able to shed a block if Taulia is going to decide to run, but they need to get takeaways. Taulia has turned the ball over seven times the last two games, and if Minnesota is going to be able to win this one, they're going to need multiple turnovers against Tagovailoa on Saturday. And then maybe the one that people will also want to hear, Luke, you got to keep the foot on the gas pedal in the third quarter.
Yes.
Minnesota has outscored their opponent in every quarter but one this year, and that's the third quarter, where Minnesota has been outscored 45-28. Now, I take note that in the last four games, and I mentioned it earlier, Rossi's defense has only allowed 14 points in the last four third quarters. That's really good. So while Minnesota's defense has been making halftime adjustments, we need to see it from Sanford and the Minnesota offense. I mean, you look at the game last week, he had a two-score lead into halftime, and then the offense sputters once again in the third quarter, allows Nebraska back into the game. So while everyone makes adjustments at halftime, Minnesota's offensive staff has to get their stuff together here in the third quarter, because if Minnesota's got, say, a 21-13 lead going into halftime, you need to come out and you need to put the foot on the proverbial throat, Luke.
All right, so let's get to predictions quickly. I can go first. As noted, the spread kind of caught me off guard. I did expect it to be lower. So I am going to take the under on this. I will go with a Minnesota win, and I will call it 27-21.
Okay. I'm going to take the under too. But I mean, you just look at this game and it's like, I understand Maryland's won three of the last four, which is, I didn't realize that until I looked it up today. But here in 2021, in this version of the game, with what both offenses and defense have for available players, this is a home game Minnesota should win. Maryland's without their two best receivers, their best pass rusher, potentially two of their best linebackers, their top corner, their second best corner's got a hamstring injury. And I get it. Minnesota's got their own injury issues, especially at the running back position. But this is also a Maryland team that's been boat raced the last 2 weeks. Now, yes, it was against two top 12 teams in Iowa and Ohio State, but getting outscored 117-31 isn't the way you want to go into your idle week. So I expect to see a much better effort from Maryland this weekend in Minneapolis. They have an extra week to prepare. I'm sure there will be some different wrinkles that Minnesota hasn't seen, but I just don't know that Maryland's got the bodies, like the top end bodies, to win this game. I will say this, if this game would have been played in early September where you have all those guys back, it's a different story, but the reality is injuries are a part of college football. So I'm going to say Morgan has a day. He throws three touchdowns, and the Gophers get a late touchdown to seal it. Minnesota 31, Maryland 20.
All right. Another necessity in life, Ryan, is being insured. And if you want to save money on your insurance, obviously Gopher Gridiron Radio fully endorses the Burns Insurance Agency in Oakdale, Minnesota. And what will those customers get out of that insurance agency, Ryan?
Well, as the Gopher football season this year has shown, I mean, it's certainly been a year of unexpected and challenging events. I mean, whether you want to look at the Bowling Green game, from the Colorado game to the injuries. But the one thing you can count on is having the right protection, and having an insurance agent on your side is the key to that. And that's where the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, Bill Burns, the big Gopher fan that he is the company to help with life's unexpected events. Whether it's an auto accident, a broken water pipe at your home or business, the Burns Insurance Agency will have you covered. And that's where he, as an independent insurance agent, has access to over 20 different insurance companies to shop for the best coverage at the best price on a year-after-year basis. They do it every single year to make sure their clients are getting the best price at the best coverage. So let the Burns Insurance Agency do the insurance shopping for you this year. Contact them for a free quote. Again, if you think at all, if you have the slightest inkling that you're thinking to yourself, boy, I think my auto or my home or my commercial or whatever it may be, heck, even your boat, the man loves boats. If you think you're paying too much, give them a shout. Email him at bill@insurancebyburns.com or log on to their website at insurancebyburns.com to get a free quote today to see if you are truly paying too much for your insurance.
All right, looking around the Big Ten, it appears that there are only 5 games this week, all Big Ten games. So we're going to have 10 teams in action in total. So, Mr. Burns, just out of curiosity, what do you think the cheapest game to get into is this week?
Is Northwestern playing this week?
Yep, they're playing at Michigan, though.
Oh, boy. I'm going to say, is it Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota and Maryland. You can get in for $24 here. lowest ticket price. Let's look at some of these games. Northwestern at Michigan. This is an 11 a.m. kick on Fox. I don't think anyone would be very surprised to know that Michigan is a heavy favorite, with a 23.5 point favorite at an over under of 51. And Michigan's coming off of a bye. So blessings to you, Wildcats, but it might be a tough day.
The Big Ten schedule this week sucks. I mean, let's call a spade a spade.
Sure.
I mean, I think Michigan's going to boat race Northwestern at home. I think Penn State, regardless of the quarterback, is going to boat race a bad Illinois team at home. I think Ohio State's going to boat race an Indiana team that just hasn't lived up to expectations this year, especially offensively. And then you have two interesting games. I mean, we've already talked 40 minutes at length about one in Minnesota, Maryland. But, I mean, though, I think the one everybody's got their eyes on, including me, and it's going to be taking at the same time Minnesota is number 25 Purdue at home against a Badger team that is just inept offensively, but is one of the best teams in the country defensively. And the question on everyone's mind across the entire Big Ten is the same. Can Jeff Brohm do it in back-to-back weeks, Luke?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, this is kind of one of those letdown games maybe for Purdue in this game. The over under Ryan is 40 for this game. Wisconsin.
That's a lot of respect. Well, I would say it's a lot of respect for Jim Leonard's defense, but in that same, I think there's more respect than I think people gave Purdue's credit for.
Yeah.
But also, Wisconsin's offense is just, it's worse than pulling teeth.
Honestly, you want to know when I saw that Wisconsin was favored by 3, you want to know why I thought they might be favored by 3? Has that field turf recovered from that Minnesota game?
Oh, God. Oh, God. I hope so. It's I'm sure it.
But
it's just,
yeah.
What would you pick that Purdue game? Because I talked about it this week on the Pair and the Spare. Like, for Jim Leonard's defense in Wisconsin's, you have to go from defending the triple option on Saturday night to now defending the aerial assault that is Jeff Brohm and David Bell and Aiden O'Connell.
Right.
Like, you couldn't get any two different offenses to prepare for. Now, again, Leonard's done it against that defense before. I mean, it's not like Jeff Brohm's new to the conference here, but I mean, you can't go from any more contrasting styles from Army's triple option to the, I mean, they literally ran the fullback dive like 40 times to now Aiden O'Connell's going to throw the ball 50 times on Saturday. So Ken, here's my question that I want to see if we can get answered. If Purdue goes up 10-0, say late second quarter,
ball game,
can Graham Mertz honestly do anything, anything at all to help that Wisconsin defense? I have no idea.
I think the game script is going to dictate the winner, which is pretty common in a Wisconsin game. But if they aren't on a positive game script, it's not going to look good for Wisconsin likely. Just throwing some stats out here, Ryan. Purdue is averaging 423 yards of total offense, right? 334 of them are against are through the air. Wisconsin, conversely, is giving up 228 yards of total offense, only 64 on the ground. And it's like, yep. So you can stop really what Purdue is not good at, which is running the ball. But I feel more confident now with King Doru back in the lineup for them and has been the last couple weeks, that they'll be able to maybe keep them honest. But generally speaking, if Purdue can find success, and the fact that David Bell is healthy, like, man, it's just, I just feel like this is a tough one. I really like what Purdue does, and I think maybe that's more stylistically than anything, but it's going to be a fun matchup between this Purdue offense and that Wisconsin defense.
Well, here's the thing. Even if Wisconsin gets out to like a 10-0 lead, what changes for the Purdue offense?
Nothing.
They're just going to throw the ball around the yard, whether they're up 10 or down 10.
Right.
So I am going to be incredibly curious to see how that game kind of unfolds. Because as I said, I mean, I think I see of the three ranked teams, I see three boat races with Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State. I mean, say what you will about this game this weekend. I think both of us are predicting a Minnesota win, shocker. But it's this Purdue and Wisconsin one, because I think maybe in a couple of weeks here, we're going to say that Purdue win in West Lafayette is going to prove to potentially be an important win for Minnesota in this Big Ten West race. Now, it all depends upon what happens this weekend in West Lafayette. And we've seen how Jeff Brohm has these incredible wins, top five opponent, and then slams back down to earth the next week. But if Aiden O'Connell is on Saturday and it turns out to be that Graham Mertz is going to have to be the one to lead them back, and maybe Purdue can escape with something here, boy, it makes just this Big Ten West race even more interesting, Luke.
And here's the thing. Sorry, I had my mic muted. The weather looks great, right? Like, this is going to be, you know, at kickoff, it's going to be like 60 degrees. There's going to be almost no wind at about 5 miles an hour. Like, this is going to be basically, I don't think the weather is going to impact this game at all. So I think that Purdue is going to be able to do what they want. It's whether or not Wisconsin can stop them, right? And well, I think they definitely can.
It's all about, it's all about, to me, can Wisconsin put up 17 points?
Yeah, that's fair.
If you think they can.
Do you really think that Purdue can, or do you think that Wisconsin can keep Purdue under 20?
Yes. I mean, it all depends upon what version of Purdue quarterback Aiden O'Connell shows up. If Aiden O'Connell against Iowa shows up, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Aiden O'Connell that was splitting time early in the season shows up, I mean, I think that Wisconsin defense is talented enough to make some plays and get some turnovers and maybe put their offense on a short field to get points. I mean, if Aiden O'Connell has one or less turnovers, I'd tell you right now, Purdue's going to win the game.
Yeah.
If he has two or more, Wisconsin will win.
I think you're right. The more I think about it, and I basically only thought about this game since we started talking about it. I think the first team to 17 wins.
I mean, yeah. And again, that's where you have a high powered offense versus a high powered defense in a low power Wisconsin offense against, I'd say, a middling to goodish.
It's a goodish defense.
I mean, I think Minnesota's is better than it, but it's a much improved defense. I'll say that. I mean, I think we both can agree on that. And that's where it's just like, can Wisconsin and can Paul Christ, who I think is still calling the plays there, can he get anything out of Graham Mertz? Can he get anything resembling consistency? Can he get anything? I mean, from whether that's Chez Malusi or you know, the big back now in Braylon Allen, who has just come onto the scene the last 2 weeks as a true freshman there. And I believe he's still only 17 years old. But I think the other thing is Purdue's front is good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, like, George Karlafkas single-handedly wrecked Spencer Petras in that Iowa offensive line all week. Like, I still don't for the life of me understand why Iowa decided, you know what? We're just going to put our tackles one-on-one with George Karlafkas, who to me is the best player in the Big Ten no one talks about. Like, again, you remember the Purdue game, Minnesota, right? And how it was just absurd on the TV copy how they kept this camera on George Karlafkas all game and Minnesota was double-teaming him all game or chipping.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Iowa said, you know what? I trust our tackles. And how'd that go? Dude had like 12 pressures. I mean, he killed them all day. So Wisconsin's offensive line has been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Wisconsin going to decide to do? Are they going to do the Minnesota method or the Iowa method? And how does it go either way? I think is another thing that is going to have to be watched on Saturday.
You know, you and I both follow Stats O' War, you know, in his advanced stats preview. And I just looked this up. He has Purdue as a 75% chance winner with a projected score of 30-20.
Who has it?
That's Stats O' War.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the Eyes on Big Ten podcast for putting me on this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, that would be I wouldn't take a 50 over under considering what's the over under, like 39?
40.
Yeah. I think this game's going to end up being like 21-17. Mm-hmm. But to your point, first 1-17 wins to me.
Yeah.
First 1-17 wins. I mean, the Big Ten schedule gets better next weekend. I don't know that you could say that from the Minnesota perspective, is they've got to go play a 2:30 game in Evanston, but you have two top 10 battles. I mean, you get Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State, plus Nebraska is back in action against a Purdue team, plus Iowa, Wisconsin. I mean, there are five legitimate Big Ten games next week, but this week, I don't know that it's too great.
The advanced stats really like Purdue's defense. They actually think it's better than Minnesota's. I agree with you. I don't think it's
better than
Minnesota's.
I think if you take out, and I think, again, this is cherry picking at its finest, but if you take out that Ohio State game and you look at like the last five of the six games, so what is that, 83%?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think things look a lot different. I mean, I talked about how Minnesota's done, you know, holding teams to very lack of points here in the first, third, and fourth quarters, but I mean, like we said, Purdue's defense has certainly improved.
This is and this is going to have big ramifications in the Big Ten West, right? And we didn't talk about this last game. Minnesota is the only team in the Big Ten West that controls their own destiny, right? Not that it like matters all that much, because I think there's a lot that's going to change throughout the season. But they really theoretically are. But if you look at the standings, like if Wisconsin can pull this upset, like this has big ramifications. But if Purdue can win, like.
If Purdue wins this, it just throws another wrench into it. I'll tell you what, like if you want chaos, have Purdue beat Wisconsin this week, okay, and then have Wisconsin beat Iowa.
Yes.
And then if Minnesota just takes care of business against Maryland and they can take care of business on the road at Northwestern, holy cow, get ready for a November to remember.
Yeah, I think November could be really fun. So again, thanks everybody for listening. We have a ton of fun doing this, and we want to thank our sponsors, the Goal Line Club, Ayers Rock Planning, and the Burns Insurance Agency. Enjoy the Maryland game and go Gophers.